the ushers will be coming down the aisles. You can just hand that to them. And if you don't have a prayer request, just drop the yellow slip with your name on it in the offering plate, if you will. You should have an order of worship in your bulletin. If you didn't get one, just see somebody at the front here or the back. And the full text for everything in the readings will be up on the screen. And we have two new clickers in the balcony today who are working on it. So if they're a second slow, we will certainly be accommodating for them. But thank you to Paula and IK who are up there today. There are restrooms out through this door. I always say come to the gathering room, which is right behind here, out through either door. But it's really important today, and I have never gotten this reason before. So are you ready? We need to vacate the church right after worship because the piano tuner is coming, and he or she needs a quiet space. And why are they coming now? Because the sanctuary is warm. And I told the preacher she could have a lot of hot air today because it would be really good to have a warm sanctuary for the piano tuner. So come on back and get a cup of water or coffee, or maybe there's some snacks back there afterwards, and do your conversation there rather than we tend to bunch up in the pews and the halls. All right, I'm going way too long. Safe sanctuary policy. Children are always welcome in the sanctuary. There's a table up here for kids. There will be Sunday school during the service, and children should be accompanied throughout the building with an adult. I want to make sure people wear their name tags. I tried to get out there today because we do have a guest pastor, so she can recognize who you are. And if you're a newbie, I have some for you. But there are a couple of things I just want to highlight as far as mission and ministry opportunities. What's happening on Wednesday? It's Ash Wednesday, right? For me, it's one of the most holy services. And I got to say, we're not real good about attending this service. So I'm going to challenge you all. 6:30, and it does include the imposition of ashes. I want to let you know that our pastor is not here, but we're delighted to have Deborah O'Connor Slater, retired pastor. And she challenged me last week, so I'm back to get a little bit more. I'm required to say that there's a congregational meeting on March 1st that has to be announced from the pulpit with a potluck. That's the really good part, right? So March 1st, put that on your calendar. And it seems like there was one other thing. Oh, yes, there's a Lenten book study starting on Fridays at 12:30 if you are not in school or working. 12:30 after food pantry time on Fridays starting this week. Lots of other good things going on in this congregation. We are a busy bunch, and they are here. But let me say welcome again, and let's continue with our worship.
Good morning, and Barbara, you are not the first person to tell me that I am full of hot air. So it is my privilege. My name is Deborah O'Connor Slater, and I am retired clergy from Upper New York Annual Conference. It's been my privilege for last week and this week to worship with you and participate in worship as Pastor Alicia Wood and others from this congregation and the Syracuse area conclude their pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I am delighted to be with you. I have absolutely enjoyed my time with you. And I have to say that if you have not been to breakfast on the second and fourth Sunday of the month, you are missing out on not only a wonderful experience, but wonderful food. Ted, where are you? You're up there. Ted, nice job, Ted. Thank you. Yeah. And to all of you who volunteer, I mean, we had so many volunteers this morning. During this season of Epiphany, our theme here at the church has been the place God calls you to is the place where your gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. God calls each of us to a place that matters. We have walked in the light. We have heard the assurance of the beloved. We have named and claimed our place in the world. We have claimed our passion, our vocation, and our mission. Today, we will hear the story of Jesus' transfiguration. The time has come now to proclaim to the world from the mountaintop that transformation is possible. How has your understanding and your call changed in the last several weeks? Let us worship God.
Good morning. I'm Connie Myers, and I'm the liturgist this morning. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship. We gather as the faithful of God. We come to listen to what God has to say to us. God has invited us to this place. May our faces reflect our hopes and our hearts. We gather as the faithful of God, people of the new covenant of hope and promise. We boldly enter into the presence of God, hoping to be transformed into new people. We gather as the faithful of God, our fears melting away in the heart of God. We come to share the freedom of the Spirit. We come to praise God's holy name. If we have learned one thing about God's call, it is that we are called together. Please remain standing and join me in singing, "Gather Us In." We may or may not exactly understand God's call for us, but we are called to be here today, and we each answered that call. please take a moment to greet others who answered the call with the love of Christ. When you hear the music, it's time for you to return to your seats and for the children to come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you? My name is Deborah, and Jim has been helping me for the last couple of days, or a couple of weeks. I brought some pictures with me, and I would like for you to look at them. Would you look at these pictures? And you can pass them around so everybody gets to see the pictures that I'm showing you. Would you take one? Jim, do you want one? You already looked at them? Oh, you are ahead of me. Okay, now here's another one. Well, we'll hold this one till last. Can we pass those along and show everybody? So tell me, which one of these is a picture of Jesus? Which one of these is a picture of Jesus? Now, Eric, you say that one is. You're too smart. Yes. All of them are pictures of Jesus. I was going to have you guess, but you beat me to it. All of them are pictures of Jesus. What do you notice about each one of those, Eric? They are in different times of his life. You're holding which one? His birth. You're holding the one for his birth. And we don't want to climb off there. You want to come? Yeah? Hi. Yes, and you are holding which one? Do you know what that one is, what that one tells? Yes, when he was in the temple. He was 12 years old. Now, do you know which one that one is? Jesus with the children, isn't it? Yeah, so he's a little bit older. Now, this one is from the church that this is Jesus as an adult, as an older adult, like he's 33. Older adult. Just emphasis on the old. Now, I have another picture. Here is another picture of Jesus. Would you like to look at that picture? It's okay. Stark is just going crazy, but that's okay. Yeah. Hi. Do you know what that is? Very good. This is called Jesus's Transfiguration. Now, he's with his three best friends, Peter and James and John. And he took them up to a mountain. And something happened to Jesus when he was up on that mountain. He became somebody very different. He moved from Jesus the carpenter to Jesus the Christ. He became somebody different. His life was changed, and everybody's life around him was changed. Now, when you think about your life with Jesus, how have you changed? Have you changed at all? Have you? How do you think you've changed? Yeah. How have you changed? You're growing. You're learning more about Jesus all the time, aren't you? Yeah. And so just like Jesus, you will be changing too. and you will find that Jesus will be special to you in all that you do. And I invite you to remember as you grow and change. Yes, she's okay. There we go. Yeah, you're a good brother. Are you her brother or just a friend? Brother? Good brother. Well, so let's pray, shall we? Gracious God, we give you thanks for Jesus, who has influenced our lives and has shown us that we too can change and be transformed. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, don't get any ideas. No more crying. Yes. Aren't you sweet? Oh, yes, follow Miss Jeannie, please. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. In our first scripture today, God is calling Moses up on the mountain to receive God's law for the Hebrew people. It wasn't a quick trip. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days. I'm reading verses 12 through 18 in the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I'll give you the stone tablets with the instructions and the commandments that I've written in order to teach them." So Moses and his assistant Joshua got up, and Moses went up God's mountain. Moses had said to the elders, "Wait for us here until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur will be with you. Whoever has a legal dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The Lord's glorious presence settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from the cloud. To the Israelites, the Lord's glorious presence looked like a blazing fire on top of the mountain. Moses entered the cloud and went up the mountain. Moses stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. In our second scripture, Matthew wanted his Jewish audience to clearly understand that Jesus was firmly placed in their historical narrative. Jesus' mountaintop transfiguration experience with Moses and the prophet Elijah and God speaking from the cloud makes it clear that Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. Notice there's another bright cloud. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we're here. If you want, I'll make 3 shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love dearly. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? God of mystery and grace, open our ears and our eyes to you. And whether it is through me or in spite of me, let your people hear your word. In our hearing, reveal yourself to us today and transform us to your new way of living. Amen. In her book of 2008, I believe, called The Gift of Imperfection, research professor Brené Brown openly shares her journey into finding herself. She refers to her journey as the year of her unraveling. And in her 2007 blog, she somewhat tongue-in-cheek refers to that experience in just this way. Breakdown? No. Spiritual awakening? Yes. In her book, Dr. Brown talks about coming to terms with who she thought she ought to be and embracing who she really is. She says it this way: the unraveling is a time when you are challenged by the universe to let go of who you think you are supposed to be and embrace who you are. Long after that unraveling began, she wrote of her experience. She said, "One day I realized, oh my God, I feel different. I feel joyful and real. Something has happened. I changed. I can feel it in my bones." It was a real spiritual awakening. To my mind, that is where we find ourselves this morning. If you have been able to be present with us in worship for the past 11 weeks, you will remember that we started on Christmas Eve. Actually, we began in Advent, but I'm going to deal with Christmas Eve. and move to today, which we have called in the church Transfiguration Sunday. You and I have been on a journey, a time to engage in a spiritual conversation about who we are in the presence of God. And we have come to wrestle with figuring out God's place for us in the light of Jesus. Over the past 6 weeks, we have been encouraged to embrace our belovedness, recognize our name, discover and claim our call and purpose. We have been called to embody beatitude living, to live life with integrity, and to cultivate our relationship with God. All of that in the light of Jesus, born under a star in Bethlehem. Now, here's my confession. I have not been in worship every Sunday for the last 11 weeks. Some of them I have a very good excuse for not being here. And I didn't enter into all of these spiritual conversations. But today I come to you with a sense of awe. As I am a part of this worship experience, I think I understand what Brené Brown felt as she was slogging through her time of unraveling, and then when she finally exclaimed, "Oh my God, I feel different. I feel joyful and real. Something has changed. I can feel it in my bones." Here we are on this Sunday morning before Ash Wednesday, seeking and maybe even longing to find ourselves in the story of Jesus' life and ministry and ultimately in his death and resurrection. Here we are listening to and in our mind's eye looking on as Jesus takes three of his most trusted followers to a high, isolated place to reveal his most intimate self. Matthew's gospel helps us understand that like his forebears, Moses and Elijah, this is who Jesus is meant to be. Everything that has transpired in Jesus' ministry, in his teaching, in his healing, in his calling and claiming, the rebuking and the corrections and the reconnecting to God, the God of creation, everything in Matthew's gospel points to who Jesus was meant to be from conception to birth, birth to adolescence, and adolescence to adulthood. This is who Jesus is meant to be. Our six-week spiritual conversation continues as we see Jesus today in a different light, though. Before this moment in the story, he was Jesus, charismatic handyman from Nazareth, whose passion for justice propelled him into the spotlight. But now, on this mountaintop moment, he is Emmanuel, God with us, beloved messenger of salvation. We can hear the intimate witnesses, Peter, James, and John, say almost in unison, "Something has changed. I can feel it in my bones." The culmination of our six-week spiritual conversation with Matthew's gospel comes down to this: asking the questions. Where do I as an individual, where do we as a congregation find ourselves in the story of Jesus' transformation? Who are we in light of Jesus' teaching and healing, correcting and guiding?
Can we see ourselves as claimed by God's grace? Can we see ourselves as a beloved child of God? Do we hear our name spoken for a special purpose? Have we been changed by Jesus' teachings? Have we been set free to live as we are called to be and not as others expect us to be? Have we renewed our intimate relationships with God? Who are we in light of Jesus? Who are we in the light of Jesus? Please take a look at this slide that is before you. Take a moment to soak it in. 15th century artist Raphael, I think I pronounced that correctly, depicts Jesus' transfiguration. To my mind, he shows the dichotomy of this mysterious event that we call Jesus' transfiguration. We see that Jesus is lifted up in the light of God's glory on a mountaintop, and yet we see as well that in the plains, the reality of human life still exists. Jesus is in great light, and his followers, Peter, James, and John, are there looking on in awe. They see the change right before their eyes. But what happens next? They don't stay on the mountain. The story doesn't end there. Jesus does not stay on the mountain bathed in the glorious light of God. He descends. He comes down into the reality of life. He goes to the seasides and into the valleys, and he ministers to those who are in need. He ministers to those who are in need of God's grace. Now, here is something I want you to know about these folks who were pictured in this particular mountaintop experience. And here's how we might find ourselves in this story. Moses was a reluctant leader. He stuttered. He didn't see himself as being worthy of leading God's people into the promised land. Elijah was a coward. He ran away when he heard that Queen Jezebel had ordered his arrest. Peter claimed his undying allegiance to Jesus, but then in those last, most crucial moments, he denied knowing Jesus not once, but three times. Brothers James and John were also renamed Sons of Thunder. Jesus named them that because they had such great zeal for Jesus' teachings, and they wanted to get it done immediately. They became a part of Jesus' inner circle, and they were willing to walk away from economic and familial security just to follow Jesus. We do find out that James was martyred at an early age, and John lived a very long life. We might think that those who travel high onto the mountaintop with Jesus were greater disciples than we who are here today. But in reality, we are all just human beings. Having all of this information before you, can you find yourself in the story of Jesus' transfiguration? I'm there. I think you're there. I think we're all there. You, me,
We have been named and claimed to follow. We have been schooled and sent from the glorious mountaintop to the valley below where reality lives. We have been called to follow the one who chooses to feed the hungry, to give water to those who are thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to clothe the naked, to heal the sick, and to visit those who are imprisoned. That's who we are in the light of Jesus. That is who we are in the name of Jesus. Come, let's find our place in the story.
When we pass the peace of Christ during greeting time, we really mean that. The love that Jesus left us, no matter how hard the struggle, brings peace, deep peace to our souls. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing the hymn, Blessed Quietness. may be seated. We now continue in our worship in a time of prayer and reflection by sharing with each other these things that are laying on our hearts today. If you would like your prayer request read during worship, please pass your prayer slip, the yellow slip, to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. Feel free to choose to be a singer or a listener as we begin our prayer time, seeking Christ's presence in our lives. We begin our prayer time together with a time of silence for personal reflection. Then I will share a spoken prayer, and we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer using the words and language that are most meaningful to you. Now settle yourself and open your mind and heart to the gentle calling of the Spirit of God. Holy God, we glorify you today. We are so thankful for the transformative mountaintop experience. Transform us. Change us. And then lead us out into the world. God, help us listen to your call so that we can live in the world the way you would have us do. Now please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who are in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come here today because of the simple fact that all are welcome here. We are united by our shared vision to feed God's people, mind, body, and spirit. And our offering is one way we affirm our commitment to that vision. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips in the plate as the ushers collect the offering. And the choir blesses us with a song. Our church members visiting Israel have been down in the river to pray. We too are studying the good old way and seeking God's way for us. Please remain standing and join me in our prayer of dedication, which is responsive. It is good to be here in this sacred space. It is good to be here with folks we know well, as well as with new friends. It is good to be here where we can hear God's voice. And so, in the safety of this space, we commit to follow God's command to listen to Jesus, to offer our gifts and ourselves in service. Amen. Since Christmas, we have traveled with the Magi, attended Jesus' baptism, listened as he called the disciples, examined blessedness, plumbed the depths of the law, and examined our own call. Today, we hear God's voice for us. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
First, I want to say thank you for the privilege to worship with you and to share in leading worship. Thanks to all of you who have made this an absolutely amazing experience. I love worshiping here anyway, but leading in worship has been a joy for me. Now, go from this place to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. Bear witness to the love of God so that to those whom love is a stranger, they will find in you
a generous friend. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.